we go a little deeper. In a commentary that I did last year, I talked about the idea of listening beyond the ends of ourself. I talked about what it meant to come to the ends of ourselves. Do you understand what that means? Most people do not. What does it mean that I come to the ends of myself? It means I've done everything I could. As a human being, as a Gregory Edward, I've done everything I could. Every thought, every emotion, every story I've told myself has brought me to the ends of myself, where I really can't go any further than just to be foolish, to be violent even, to be vindictive, which is what most people like to do. They like to become vindictive. All of this occurs because our minds exist only in the assumption of our desires. In these assumptions, we come to conclusions and we confound ourselves. This is why Lao Tzu says, "Therefore, free from desire, you see the mystery. Full of desire, you see the manifestations." These two have the same origin but differ. That is the secret. The secret of secrets, he says. The gate to all mysteries. You must understand something. It's one of the essential understandings. That the path of truth, the path of insight, the path of awakening, it must come to you. You can't find it in your intellectual prowess. It will never be done that way. If you intellectually try to find the truth, you will only find your mind desiring it and making up narratives, stories, conclusions, assumptions, presumptions. This is what I mean when I say the mind exists in desiring. Therefore, if the mind is in desiring, as Lao Tzu said, we ruin the mystery, we can't find it. It has to come to us. When I am without desire, the mind as we know it recedes. It is no longer there, because the reason the mind is there in desiring is that it is a part of our DNA, our self-preservation. And that's the whole secret to meditation, that we go beyond self-preservation, that we come to a place where we awaken. I am sure, no matter who is listening to this little discourse, that you are at the ends of yourself. You've done everything you can, all the mischief that you can do, all the assumption, all the beliefs, all the fears, everything that you have come to believe in that would help you, and you have found you are, well, no longer there. Nothing is helping you. You're still right where you are, as you are, the way you are. And not much has changed. In fact, I am sure that nothing changed. Buddha was once asked while visiting a village. Every day, this man said to the Buddha, every day you say that everyone can become enlightened. Then why doesn't everyone become enlightened? My friend, said the Buddha, do one thing. In the evening, make a list of all the people in your village and write down their names, their desires next to their names. So the man went into the village, and he asked everyone there, what were their desires? What were their ambitions? What did they hope for their life? It was a small village. It only took a few hours to do. They gave him their answers. He returned in the evening to give the answers to the Buddha, and the Buddha didn't even look at the paper. It is said that he looked at the man and said, well, how many of these people wrote down enlightenment? And the man looked at it and thanked the Buddha and walked out, because no one does. You want to be rich. You want to be comfortable. You want to have the means to do the mean to yourself. And you don't even know it. Because in our culture, in this Western culture, the whole idea of being comfortable, of being affluent, is the only thing that matters. And when that is no longer the premise of a person's life, their mind, in a way, recedes. It dies. It changes. It is no longer what it used to be. We miss. Again, we miss. That's why Lhatsa says, free from desire, you see the mystery. But you see, the mystery confounds the pedestrian mentality of us. And we all have it. I have it. Everyone does. This pedestrian mentality that we possess is the one that tells us what is morally right, what is morally wrong, the value of ourselves as people, how other people think of us is the most important, not what we know about ourselves, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And you know what it is. I know what it is in me. Everybody knows. This is our basic desire. When we're full of desire, as Lao Tzu said, we can only see the world. And when we can only see the world, we don't invite the way to come to us. You have to understand. Now listen. In your deepest heart, you are calling for the way. You are calling me as your teacher, as someone who dearly loves you. You're calling me, but you won't listen to me because I make no sense. No sense to your desires. I do not help you with your desires, how to fulfill your desires. I don't do that. And with that being said, you've destroyed the mystery. It takes a certain kind of being to understand the mystery of life and to enter into it. You have to call it to you. It must come to you. You can't go to it with a mind that is desiring, that is ambitious, that is proud, that is judgmental. You can't come to that. I've had many a student in my day, and they're basically all the same. They're arrogant, and they're full of desire and pride. And when you look at yourself in the mirror, if you ever do, and ask yourself, am I at the ends of myself? What is the means of my life? What am I really doing with my livingness? I think you'll find your mind does not talk back. And if it does, it will only try to support what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're believing, your desires, your ambitions. Many people want to just stay alive because of the fear of death. And that is one of the major culprits of a lack of interest in the way, and also disregarding the way as the means for living. The way can be walked, not the eternal way. The way can be walked only in the heart. Let me read you something from Rumi. Stay in the spiritual fires. Let it cook you. Be well-baked loaf of bread. And allow it to be the Lord of the table you sit at. Yes. I must be willing. When I'm full of desire, ambition, and pride, I'm immune to the great secret, the manner of the way. And I never really realize what I am doing with the totality of my life. This is a very, very difficult place to be when we're at the ends of ourselves. We don't try to move any deeper. We don't try to do anything daring, like let go of our mind, meditate. I have students who refuse to meditate. Yeah, I do. They refuse. They think they have better things to do, that it won't get them what they want. And they tell me, I think it's a waste of time. I've got to survive. I've got to work. So they don't meditate. And, you know, nothing I could ever say to help them understand why would make any quote-unquote sense to them. There's no use in trying to help them. They're of the world, and they live in the confines of the world, which will eventually catch up to them and destroy their life as they know it, as they want it to be. They miss. They're not really students, they're merely attendees. And they don't do very much with their life but eat, drink, and try to be merry. It is very sad. This is why Buddha sent the man out. Go find out who really wants to awaken. No one. It isn't relative to the needs, the desires. It isn't relevant to how they live their life or what they think of as having a good life. How strange it is, it must be to these people, maybe you. You are born, you are given a body. It wasn't what you think of as your choice, but you are given a body. It has all sorts of complexities and it confounds you in many different ways. It hurts. Sometimes it's pleasured. You have this body and it's constantly sending to you messages. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, get this, don't get that. Constantly, all your life. And if you're the person of the pedestrian mentality, you're at the ends of yourself very quickly. Even when you're young, you've tried everything you could, but what can you do? What can you do that is beyond the means of your end? You've come to the end of yourself. All the possibilities, they're gone. You've tried them all. Now you just live in the confines of what's left over in your life. And that's the way it goes. I had a man talking to me recently in hospice, and he said, give me a reason to live. And I looked at him and I said, dying. Dying consciously. Dying. Just die. Die beyond the beliefs, the ideals of right and wrong, good and bad, I told him. Let your mind go. Oh, and it scared him more than his physical death. He couldn't handle it. He asked me to leave, and I did, of course. But not without a little something to think about as he lets go of his body, or his body lets go of him, I should really say. And that's the way it generally works. We live in a mystery. The mystique of the mystical, as I call it. And most people just aren't up for that. Especially those who hoard money or made money their entire means of living. At a certain point, you come to the end of it all. The richest person in the world will come to the end of it all. They will have acquired as much money as possible before they die, and they would have to live longer to acquire more money, more wealth. But their body is taking them out, and it was their body that told them to live for money, to live for the whole idea of achieving wealth. Wealth lives within. It is a deep and profound moment. Wealth is love. Wealth is mercy. Wealth is forgiveness. Wealth is compassion. Wealth is kindness. So when Lao Tzu says, free from desire, you see the mystery. You are no longer confounded by the beliefs that you have, what your body is impulsing you to think, say, and do. You've gone beyond that. You're in the spiritual fires and you're cooking. I like what Rumi says. You're cooking. Most people die long before they ever leave their body. And they go through the motions. I had a man once in my life. I was sitting with him and his wife at a breakfast. And she was talking about everything she wanted. She had all the money at her disposal one could want. And she was talking about where they would be going and the exotic trips they were going to be taking. She went to the restroom and he looked at me and he said, I don't care about any of that stuff. I could die now. It wouldn't matter. I looked at him and I said, do you want to die? Oh, no, he said. No, I got to stay alive for her. But to be honest with you, Greg, he looked at me. And he said, I could die right now. Wouldn't matter. Once futility has reached a person's life, once they see the futile means by which they have lived, then there is nothing left but to die. And this is the logical ideal that most people have, the logical, sensible ideal. But it is not the way. You haven't drawn to you the teacher, the means for a life lived in compassion, in generosity, in forgiveness. There is no path to truth, my dear one, not even the Tao. You must find the Tao in you. It must come to you as a means of love. Once that happens, once you have changed the ebb and the flow of your mind, and you put inside of yourself the means for consciousness and the development of consciousness. Once consciousness is born in you through the practice of silence, you will hear the tones. They will bring to you the light. Tone brings light. Tone brings love. Lao Tzu said, and let's meditate together on this. The secret for those who have no desire awaits in the heart. in the heart. Let us go to the heart. I want to sit with you.